Let the Haitian people decide their own government. It isn't for the U.S. to decide for them. It's time to end this empire for the good of the people of America and for the good of the people of the world. We must demand it and then work for it to end this reign of madness. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
You are listening to Free Speech Radio News. I'm Amma Bouadi.
And you're listening to radio station, are we? Yeah. Radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, New York. This is a miracle. It really is. Sat down 10 seconds ago and got everything to work. Okay, we have...
This is Jello Biafra of Dead Kennedys, and you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, 90.1 FM, unless your stereo was made in America.
Right. It's true. Time for Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. Emmanuel Wilson here with you for the next hour or so. And yes, defying all odds, like you would not believe. First of all, just being able to be here this week meant all kinds of marathon driving throughout snowy weather and hazardous conditions at night and things like that. And foreign countries, everything. I'll tell you the story. In addition, we have power failure here on campus, which is great. It's kind of traditional at Stony Brook to do things like that, especially at the worst possible moment. We have a snowstorm that's happening even as we speak. And for some reason that I can't figure out, and this time at least I was able to figure out how to get you to hear it as well. I can turn off my microphone and turn on the guest microphone, and you'll hear for yourself. You hear that noise? That's the noise that's happening in this radio station when the microphone is not on, when the main microphone is not on. That's the noise that's pervading us. That doesn't stop. And I don't know if you ever had a noise like this in your house. It's kind of like, you know, when the smoke detector goes off, you know, when the battery is running low and you finally track it down and you yank the battery out and you put the... Oh, yeah, that happens too when... hold on. Okay, how can I fix that? I can unplug the phone. That takes care of that problem. When you find the smoke detector, you know, with the battery that's making that horrible chirping noise every few minutes, and you just set it aside and forget about it, and your house burns down, and you wonder why you weren't warned about it. Well, it's because it's very hard to track down that particular sound, you know? It's just everywhere. You don't know where it is. You don't know. No, it's okay. It's a radio effect. Well, I like it, actually. It's kind of comforting.
I can turn it off.
Does anybody know what it is?
Yeah,
warm. Oh, what does that mean? Radioactive?
It's clear.
Clear. Open. So I just press that button and it goes away?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's so cool.
I don't know how to turn it on.
Does anybody know what it means, though?
No. It means it's a problem, but we just...
It's a problem, but if you just press that button...
Theoretically.
If only everything was so simple. Okay, thank you so much. All right. Well, we don't have to have that microphone on anymore, so let's push it away. Over there. Wow. Well, you know, not everything is that simple to solve. It would be nice to know what the alarm means. Usually alarms mean something, and I'm sure that means something as well. But we have so many alarms going off on campus right now. As you walk up to this place, it's unbelievable. You hear the sound It sounds like you're going... Uh-huh. I just heard that. I don't know if anybody else heard that. You know what I think that is? I think that's our transmitter dumping. Can you guys hear me in there, in the other room? I don't think they can hear me. Yeah, I think our transmitter's dumping out. I think that's why we keep hearing music all the time. What's been happening is we've been hearing music cutting in occasionally for about 10, 20 seconds. And we're wondering where the music is coming from. And because there's this other radio station that broadcasts on our frequency that I think is broadcasting a little too enthusiastically, well, when we go off the air, they come right in on our signal. And I think that's what's happening. So I think maybe we need to lower the power a little bit. Maybe we're dumping. Is that possible? Boy, this is a conversation I've never had on the air before.
There's a radio outside and you're coming through.
I'm coming through on that? Okay, all right. But I heard music in my headphones. It wasn't my music. Somebody else's music. All right. Well, I'm curious what the people on the internet are hearing. we're hearing all kinds of things here. But as you walk up to this building on campus, you hear the sound of generators. And it's like you're going to, you know, Woodstock or something, you know, where all the generators are going and everybody's preparing to have a weekend of fun with no power or anything because it's all being supplied by these generators that you rent out. Except there's no concert going on campus. There's just a lot of people running around looking pissed off because they have no power. And there's all this noise and confusion and nobody knows what's going on. You see, at Stony Brook, we do things a little bit differently. This power failure started on Sunday. And now it's, what, Tuesday? Yeah, you know, I mean, if it was New York City, there'd be people running around, they'd figure out the problem, they'd fix it. Maybe some people would get electrocuted, some dogs get shocked walking down the sidewalk. You know, that's all part of the game. But here at Stony Brook, it's, you know, we'd like to understand the electricity more than just fix it. So there's men out there right now, I passed them on the way in with construction hats, and they're reading books on electronic theory. And how it pertains to everyday life and things like that. And it's, you know, it's inspiring to see because this is a place of higher learning. People should be fully cognizant of whatever subject it is that they're dealing with. And these guys are learning a whole lot. And that's, isn't that what it's all about? Yeah, you know, some people might be freezing. Some people might not have all the lights they want. There might be a horrible noise of generators and things like that. But people are learning, damn it. That's what it's all about. All right, hopefully we'll learn what the alarms around here mean. So, yeah, we have a little power failure. We have a little blizzard. We have all kinds of things like that. But you know what? All of that pales in comparison to what's going on in the world. And what's going on in the world is always interesting. It's always fun. Always amazing to focus on. We're going to be doing just that. But first, of course, we have to do our weekly Tommy Chong tribute. And this week actually is going to be a little bit strange. We're moving into another album this week. We're moving into the Wedding album. And that's from 1974. But the piece we're going to hear now is a double piece because they just kind of flow into each other. You'll hear when it happens that obviously there's no way I could stop it here. And the problem is that that the piece that follows, the first piece, really isn't Tommy Chong at all. It's Cheech Marin. But it would be wrong for me to just stop it. And then you'll never know how that turns out. And it's kind of interesting. Kind of interesting. And something I don't think would work today. But... it was humor back then in 1974. And as we have been doing for the past several months, we're playing a Tommy Chong piece every week until he is released from prison for the ultimate crime of selling bongs on the internet. You know, I was in a store yesterday in Quebec City. That's right, Quebec City. It's right up there. Beautiful city. I've never been there before in my life. And I've always known that I would like it a lot. I had no idea how much I would like it until I actually went there. It's so monumental and fantastic looking. And words fail me. Words absolutely fail me, which is bad on the radio show, I know. But I was in Quebec City, and what was I talking about Quebec City? My mind has drawn a complete blank here. How does Quebec City relate to this? Well, I was there, and I was driving here. I was in a different country, that's right, and, oh yes, bongs. I was in a store that was selling bongs, openly. And you could say bongs. You could say, this is a bong. Or you could say in French, le bong, whatever you call it. And no big deal. No secret police running out of the corners. No paranoia. No fear. People selling bongs. People buying bongs. People using bongs. People talking about bongs. Bongs, bongs, bongs. Yeah, well, it's not the same here. A lot of things are different here. But that only means that there are things to change. And there's a lot of work to be done. But never mind all that. That's too serious. Let's... Walk into the World of Comedy. Cheech and Chong from 1974 with a couple of pieces. The Babysitter, featuring Pedro and Man, followed by The Three Little Pigs. And we'll be back talking about world events and maybe figuring out what some of these alarms and sirens and people running around, what it's all about. We'll explore it together. See you in a bit.
Hey, man, I rang the bell and knocked on the door, but nobody came, man, so I let myself in, man. Hey, what's happening around here? What's going on, man?
Hey, Pedro! Hey, man, come on in!
I'm already here, man. Hey, take off those earphones, man.
Huh?
Said take off those earphones, I want to talk to you.
I can't hear you, man. I got earphones on.
I know you got earphones on, man. Take them off.
Hey, what's happening, Pedro?
Oh, not too much. I was just going to drop by, man. Hey, what's going on around here, man? Where all these gifts come from, man?
They belong to my sister, man.
All of them, man?
Yeah. I got a babysit for her.
Gee, well, where's your sister, man?
Oh, she's in the hospital having a baby.
Oh. Hey, man, well, can't you do something to quiet these kids down? They're driving me crazy, man. Hey, be quiet, you. Yeah, leave. Mocosos, man. Why'd you guys go play on the freeway or something? Hey, Droopy Drawers, blow your nose, man. You're sipping all over the floor. Hey, quiet! Hey, listen. All right, we're going to play a game now. Everybody want to play a game? Okay, then shut up. Look, now we're going to play a game because you can hold a breath the longest. Okay. Ready? Go! That's good. Everybody hold it. That's okay. Take another breath. You're still in it. That's good. Come on, hey. You're not cheating over there. Come on. Hold your breath. That's good. Okay. Another 5 minutes. Okay. You the pee your pants. You're out. Okay, everybody. Keep going. Hey, come on. No cheating. Put your hands over your mouth or something. That's good. Yeah, let's keep going. Come on, keep going. Come on, 10 more minutes. Yeah, you can do it. Come on. Okay, you won. You with a blue face, you won. Okay. Hey, you can stop holding your breath now. Come on, the contest is over. Hey, come on, quit holding your breath. You're going to die. Hey, come on, kid, knock it off. Hey, man, this kid won't quit holding his breath. Hey, man, take off those earphones, man.
What's the matter, man?
Hey, man, this kid's still holding his breath, man. He's going to die.
Oh, it's okay, man. I'll fix him.
Yeah, that was a nice bang shot, man. Okay. Come on, everybody, shut up again. We're going to have another contest. This time we're going to play, hide and go seek. No, we can't play hide and go seek. We only got one room. There ain't no place to hide. I'm gonna tell you a story. Oh, okay. I'll tell you a real scary story, okay? All right, everybody sit down. Come on. Yeah, that's it. Now hold hands. Hold each other's hands. Okay, Jupiter, go turn out the light. Okay, now you guys, this is going to be a real scary story. So if anybody got a heart condition, they better cover their ears. All right, now everybody be quiet. And no crying. Because it's a real scary story that my grandfather told me right before he died. Once upon a time, there was 3 little pigs. And no, wait a minute. Now, this is about 3 other little pigs. This is about 3 real bad little pigs who used to mess up the house all the time, and they'd leave all their clothes laying all over and their toys on the stairs, and they used to run around the house all day and yell and scream and never shut up and or blow their nose or nothing. And the worst thing, they used to never lift up the toilet seat. And this made their mother real mad. So one day, the mother says to the father, "I'm sick up and fed with these 3 little pigs. All they do all day is run around the house and make noise, and they never clean up their room or blow their nose. And the worst thing, I'm getting sticky buns. And the father said, yeah, I know. And I'm sick up and fed with those three little pigs, too. So I got an idea. Tomorrow, when the three little pigs go to school, let's move. So early the next morning, the father got up and went down and rented a U-Haul trailer. And then he came back and stopped by the supermarket and picked up a whole bunch of cardboard boxes and brought them all home. And they packed everything in the whole house, except for the ring around the bathtub. And then they moved right across the street to her mother's house. Because they knew the three little pigs would never find them there because they weren't allowed to cross the street by themselves. So that afternoon, when the three little pigs came home from school, they went into the house to turn on the TV to watch cartoons. And the first thing they noticed was there was no cartoons and no TV to watch them on. And they looked around the house and they said, hey, I think somebody moved. And the second little pig said, yeah, I think it was our parents. And the third little pig said, well, where are we going to watch cartoons? Then, all of a sudden, there came a big knock on the door. Boom, boom, boom. So the three little pigs ran over to the window to see who it was. And they saw that it was the landlord. So the first little pig, remembering what his father told him to say when the landlord came around, yelled out, there's nobody home! And the landlord didn't believe that, so he knocked on the door again. Boom, boom, boom! So the second little pig said, the check's in the mail! And the landlord still didn't believe that either, and he knocked on the door again. Boom, boom, boom! And then the third little pig said, hey, landlord! Can we come over to your house and watch cartoons? And that made the landlord really mad, because he hated cartoons, especially the Flintstones. So the landlord banged on the door again and said, hey, you pigs, you let me in. And the first little pig said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And the landlord went nuts, and he kicked the door in, and he walked in, and he said, okay, which one of you is the poet? And the first little pig said, oh, you like that? I got a million of them. And the landlord said, I'll show you how much I like that. And he grabbed the little pig and he ate them all up. And then he grabbed the second little pig and ate him all up too. And the third little pig said, gee, he must be mad. I never saw him do that before. I better think of something while I stall for time. And he asked the landlord, hey, landlord. Do you want a Bromo Seltzer or something? And the landlord just let out a big burp and kept coming towards the third little pig. So the third little pig said, gee, this calls for desperate action. So he reached down and he took off his chew and he held it up to the landlord's face. And the landlord took one whiff and his eyes bugged out like a Volkswagen and they started watering and he fell down on his knees and started choking. And then the little pig did something he never did before in his life. He took off his sock and he stuck it in the landlord's mouth. And the landlord started gagging and choking and crying in the air and fell over dead. But the moral of the story is, always walk softly but carry a big stink. How you like that one? Pretty good story, huh? Hey, what are you kids doing? Hey, you put your shoes back on. Come on, you little motherfucker, put your shoes back on. Don't take off your socks. Come on, hey, help. Hey, help! Help! Come on, you little... Get away from me, you little... Help, man!
Okay, there you go. Had to do it, had to play that one. That was Cheech and Chong from the Wedding album, 1974. And again, mostly Cheech Marin. That's the way it goes sometimes. We're going to continue playing a piece, in this case two pieces, so maybe we can get a week off next week of Tommy Chong and Cheech Marin by default, until Tommy Chong is released from prison for his crimes. Unbelievable. It seemed unbelievable last year when this first started to become a possibility that someone would actually go to prison for something stupid like that. But that's the thing, you know, you get less and less immune to it. You start to realize that, this is the world we live in. This is the country we've built. And unfortunately, things happen sometimes that you just have little control over. But there's always something you can do. There's always a protest of some sort that that you can engage in, whether it be playing a piece on the radio, wearing a T-shirt, whatever, telling people about things. And you also have to pick your battles. You also have to know when something is important and significant, even if it might seem silly at the time. Yeah, we're talking about people going to prison for silly things, things that maybe you would not do, but things that are important, things that reflect on other aspects of free speech and freedom, things that you should care about. So that's where we stand here. And by the way, if anybody finds out when Tommy Chong gets released from prison, please let us know that too, so we don't make fools of ourselves by continuing to play this for the next couple of years. I think the sentence was about 10 months, though. That's what I was told. Okay, well, as I mentioned, I was up there in Canada for the past few days. I went up over the weekend and came tearing back down last night when I heard the weather forecast. The funny thing is, you know, I went up there thinking that I was going to be going back to where winter was. I can't get enough of winter. You know, I love the cold. That's not really the reason I went up there, but it was kind of cool that I can go up there and it's still winter while it's kind of like pseudo-spring down here. And so imagine my surprise when I turned on the radio, because you can listen to long-distance AM radio late at night, and I heard the weather forecast for New York City being more snow than they were getting up in Canada. So naturally, I knew that if I didn't make it back by the time this so-called blizzard hit, there might be some further complications, and things might be really difficult to handle. So, yeah, marathon driving session through the night on interstates and trans-Canada highways and things like that. A lot of fun. You know, if you like driving, it's something you should do. It can be a very liberating thing. When you have lots of music to select from, that's always a good thing. You know, I carry the equivalent of, 10 days of music with me wherever I go. And that just means that you have so many choices. Of course, you know, no matter how many choices you have, you're always going to be convinced you don't have enough. You know, when I was a kid, we used to get something like 4 TV stations, and it wasn't that long ago. And now it's 400 at least. And there's still nothing on. Can read every book imaginable and never know what to settle on. So, yeah, all this music I'm carrying with me, I never know what to listen to, so I put it on randomize. And, you know, it does a better job picking things than I do. It really does. Plus, it's not really safe to be driving and scrolling through your iPod at the same time, so... It's a good thing also to have a radio that allows you to listen to various local stations as well as long distance stations. And in Canada, there are all kinds of different ways of listening to radio. Of course, there are the French stations. There's Radio 1 and Radio 2 from CBC. There are various commercial English stations as well, and of course, U.S. stations that bleed over the border. So it can be very interesting to listen to, and of course, DXing, which is listening to long distance radio over AM or shortwave, is also a very fun thing to do. And a lot of New York stations come in just as clear up in Montreal as they do in New York on the AM dial, which I think is pretty interesting as well. So you know, it's nonstop entertainment when you're moving, and plus, you know, you have whatever is going on in front of you, which hopefully you're paying attention to as well. But while you're up there in the country, it's just so important to focus on all the different things that that happen. As soon as you cross the border, the differences start immediately. Especially Quebec, because that's a French-speaking province. When I went up there the first time as a kid, I remember it was bilingual. Everything was in English and French. Well, now it's just French. And you know what? I don't have a problem with that at all. I kind of like that. I like the fact that it is foreign. It is different. And you have to play by their rules to get around. Yeah, you know, people speak English. It's not too hard to find somebody in any situation. But when you're driving on the roads, everything is in their system as it should be. So, of course, you have the metric system. You have kilometers. You have commas instead of the period. Yeah, I mean, you know, almost everything is different. They basically, and most of the world seems to do this, too. It sounds really weird when you first hear it, but when you get used to it, it's not a big deal at all. But they basically switch the period and the comma so that when you write, say, 20,000, you write 20.000 instead of 20,000. And then it goes the other way as well. When something is, say, $14.25, well, you write 14,25 instead of 14.25. And then, of course, there are the money situations, you know, where the money is different. Canadian dollars instead of U.S. dollars. Canadian dollar worth about 75 cents. okay, you know, it's you can deal with that. Money's a little bit different. You have the loony, the toony, you know, their coins, $1 coin, $2 coins, which, you know, make a lot of sense. We can't seem to ever get that right here. I don't understand what the big deal is. But having coins that are actually worth something is kind of a cool thing. And, you know, that's just differences in everything. 24-hour clock, for instance. I can never understand why we don't use a 24-hour clock like everybody else does. Right now, it's 18:25. How hard is that? Of course, that's Eastern time. If you're listening in Idaho, it's different. You simply add the p.m. to the 12. Simple. 4 o'clock p.m., 12 plus 4, 16. How hard is that? The rest of the world does it. We call it military time. I don't know why. The military didn't invent it. It's because military people are the only people that use it in this country. I don't understand. Train leaves at 16:18. It's the simplest thing in the world to figure out. You don't have to get confused over a.m. or p.m. And people still say, you know, 4 o'clock p.m. You know, the clocks don't ring 16 times. It's just something that everybody understands. And we have to be difficult about it. And, you know, something else that everybody understands, well, at least up there everybody understands, and I don't understand, and I don't think I ever will understand. God knows I've tried. Some things just don't get through to me. And this is one of them. Did you ever see a game of curling? Curling, yeah, it's like, how do you describe this? It's like shuffleboard on ice. You have four people on a team. They've got these magic shoes. I don't know how that works either. Where basically you slide all over the ice. You're not on ice skates, but you're slipping and sliding, not falling though. And you have this big round thing. It looks like a tea kettle. It really does. It's got a handle and everything. It looks like a tea kettle. And you got this one guy or woman, you know, because there are, everybody can play this game apparently. I've never seen children playing it, but, you know, it seems to be a game that people of all ages and sexes and sizes can play, which is great, you know. But in Canada, it has this manic following, which is just unbelievable. You'd never see something like that here. So basically, one person is crouched down, and he's looking intently straight ahead, and he's got this big tea kettle, and he basically steps very carefully on the ice, holding the tea kettle on the ice with one hand, and he basically aims it and pushes it down the ice. And if you look at the concentration in his eyes as he does this, it's the most exact science in the world. As he gets that thing to go exactly where he wants it to go, at whatever speed he wants it to go at. All right, you know, I can sort of understand that. And then what happens after that? That's where it gets a little confusing, because then all of a sudden all these other people jump onto the ice with these brooms and start sweeping in front of the tea kettle. And meanwhile, the guy who just did this is back there shouting at the top of his lungs at these people. I don't know how his instructions can make them do anything differently, because it seems no matter what they're doing, they're brushing the ice in front of the tea kettle. He's back there shouting, "Hurry, hurry!" I mean, I don't know what you're hurrying from, you know, where else would you be? Or fast, or those are the only two words I've ever heard being yelled, other than primeval grunts. So you have all these people hurrying and going fast and sweeping, and meanwhile the tea kettle is making its way down the ice. And then there's all these other tea kettles sitting on the ice, and it hits a couple of them, which is good or bad, depending on what they do. And in the end, they add up numbers, and somebody wins something. I mean, that's as basic an explanation as I can give. I've watched this game many times. Finally, this weekend, I was able to figure out, because they had a big championship up there. It's a big deal. Where Nova Scotia was playing, Alberta? Yeah, they were playing Alberta. Alberta is apparently the power horse. That's a word. In the world of curling. They basically have won 3 years in a row. Nova Scotia was the underdog. And Nova Scotia came and they won. I hope I didn't ruin that for anybody, but yeah, they came from behind and they won. And it was really exciting. I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea what was going on at all. But just watching this and looking at the crowd, you have an arena filled with people, but everybody seems to know each other. You have the wife of the person who's pushing the tea kettle down the ice there. And, you know, when the game's over, she just nonchalantly runs onto the ice. She's not even sitting in the front seat either. She's in the middle of the crowd. You have these people in their 70s and 80s in the crowd. It's after midnight. It's just not the kind of thing you expect to see. It's alien. It's amazing. I picked up a copy of the Globe and Mail, which is the Canadian national paper, the next day. And let me just read you a couple of bits from the story, just so you understand how important this is. Front page news. Front page news. And basically the headline is, Dacey delivers an end to rain. Yeah, this is the Breyer's Cup, by the way. If anybody follows curling, maybe you know what that means. I know it's a cup. I know it's important. And I know they take it very seriously. And this comes from Saskatoon, which is in Saskatchewan. To paraphrase an old sports analogy, it's never over until the last rock stops. Okay. Last night, Mark Dacey pulled off one of the Nokia Breyer's most stunning comebacks. Yeah, Nokia sponsors this, apparently. To win the Canadian Championship and end Randy Ferbey's streak of three titles. I guess the team captain is the one that gets the full credit. It's not so much the team, it's the man. Dacey trailed 8-4 after seven ends, but somehow managed to get off the mat to score a 10-9 win over the Alberta champions. The victory seemed well out of reach for most of the game, as time and again, the Dacey team squandered opportunities to pounce on Ferbey, but in the 10th end, Dacey scored three to steal the win, bringing the crowd to a tumultuous ovation as his final draw stopped perfectly in the 4-foot circle. It was a tremendous comeback that appeared it would never happen, as the Nova Scotia team flopped and slipped for most of the game. And you know what's funny? When you're watching the game, too, all the players are mic'd. So you hear them discussing amongst themselves what they're going to do. Well, you know, I think we should hit this one over here, but, you know, then it's going to go over there, and I don't know, you know, what should we do? And you're hearing all the strategizing going on. Of course, everybody's hearing it. But more importantly, it sounds as if it's the most boring thing in the world. It sounds like they're, you know, refinishing a pipe in someone's house or something like that. Doesn't sound like a, you know, exciting team action there. But yet everybody is hanging on every word and analyzing it and figuring it all out. It's all geometry. Cool in that sense. And also in the sense that I don't understand that either. Anyway, continuing here. While all four players on the Nova Scotia team contributed to the errors, none were more glaring than Dacey's own error in the early part of the game. In the second, the skip missed. He's the skip, okay? The person. I figured that much out. The person is a skip. The skip missed on a hidden roll with his first one and a run back on his second, leading to a score of 2 points for Ferbey and a 2-1 lead. Okay. I got that. The next end, after misses by both Ferbey and Dave Nettehen, Dacey had a relatively easy hit for 3 points, but again was wide and rolled out, only scoring a deuce. And here's where it hits you. Ready? In the fourth, after making a tremendous angle raise, double takeout with his first rock, Dacey wasn't able to remove an Alberta stone with a hack weight hit on his second. Okay, come on already. You guys are just making this up. Remove an Alberta stone with a hack weight hit on his second? What does that even mean? I've tried. I really have tried to understand this thing. I really have. But I don't know these words. People have tried to explain cricket to me, too, and for some reason that doesn't take. Anyway, congratulations, Nova Scotia. You're the best in the world of curling. I know that means something up there. And, I get down here on the Canadian satellite dish. I watch curling. I'm the only person probably in Suffolk County watching curling at any moment. And I'm just, you know, I'm just watching basically what happens without understanding why it's happening. And it's kind of cool. You know, it's no more boring than, say, watching golf. Everybody seems to understand that. All right, well, to each their own. But the thing is, I think you should have the choice to be able to see something like that, and I don't think anybody here can see it. When's the last time you saw curling on CBS? Maybe during the Olympics. Maybe during the Olympics. But if, like, an American athlete is walking to their car in the parking lot, that's going to take priority over any sporting event involving other countries. Okay, speaking of other countries, we have a lot of other country news, and of course we'd like to take phone calls a little later as well for people's opinions on things going on in the world. But just in closing, let me say, Canada is a great place to go, even in the winter. And Quebec, I got to get back there, an amazing city. A lot of places, a lot of nooks and crannies to explore, very European look to it all. All right, let's take a quick look at the news. President Bush is urging U.S. allies to remain committed to the fight against terrorism and the effort to bring stability to Iraq. In the wake of last week's train bombings in Spain that killed more than 200 people, Bush told reporters at the White House, terrorists will never shake the will of the United States. Did you follow that story? That story was amazing. It happened last week. And right away, a friend of mine mentioned something that I don't think anybody got. Yeah, the Spanish government was out there blaming ETA, the Basque separatists, which right away seemed wrong. If you've been following the story at all of the Basque separatists, any actions that they've taken over the years have been fairly tiny. And this was big. This was really, really big and coordinated. It wasn't like them at all. 200 people killed. And there's a lot of debate as to whether ETA is even considered a terrorist organization or a separatist movement or what. But they've never done anything like this before. And, of course, they denied it, too. But that didn't stop the Spanish government from blaming them anyway. And the most amazing and interesting thing that I've seen, in contrast to what goes on in many other parts of the world, including this part of the world, as soon as this happened, the next day, more than half the population of the city turned out for a rally against this kind of thing, to condemn this crap, whoever was responsible for it, to go to the train stations, to go to the streets, to not show fear, to stand up and be counted. Millions and millions of people. And you know, there was something about that that was just so much more inspiring than seeing soldiers running around with guns and going after the alleged enemy in the name of something. There's nothing more inspiring than seeing all the people stream out onto the streets and say, we are not afraid, we're not going to be intimidated, we're not going to stand for this, we condemn this. All right, right away, that was admirable. But then what happened after that was even more incredible. As more demonstrators marched against the war, against the Spanish government's policy, and, most notably, accusing the Spanish government of using this. This is within a day of it happening, a day and a half perhaps. Accusing the Spanish government of using this tragic event to their advantage. Now, it took us months to accuse Bush of that. It took a long, long time, and demonstrations... They were not like this. Not like this at all. Thousands and thousands of people accusing the Spanish government of using this, of wrongly accusing one group for its own purposes of being behind this action and not looking at the real cause of it, which was a foreign policy that 94% of the people did not support. And just to be able to have the guts to stand up and say that, look at what happened in our country when we were attacked. Our response was to stand behind the government, whatever they say. Invade Poland? Yeah, if necessary, we'll do that. Get that flag up on the SUV. Well, you know what? In Spain, they thought about it a little bit more. Maybe they're a little bit more cynical. Maybe they just have more experience with this kind of thing. But it was obvious they were being lied to. And they cut through all the nationalism and all the pride they were supposed to feel for their nation. They cut through all that And they said distinctly to their government, you are wrong. You are lying to us. And they kicked them out because the election was 2 days afterwards. They kicked them out. They elected a socialist over a conservative. They elected someone who said that he's going to pull the troops out. And wow, seeing this happen. But the thing that nobody seemed to get at first, I think some people are saying it now, and this is something a friend of mine got immediately. The date that it happened, March 11th. March 11th. Now, we talk about 9/11. This was 3/11. Yeah, you know, it's the non-emergency number for the police, I think, in New York City or something like that. In fact, when I turned on the TV set that morning, I saw Mayor Bloomberg talking about the success of 3-1-1. I don't know if they did that intentionally on March 11th, but I just thought that was kind of interesting right there. But nobody tied it to 9/11, 3/11. And it wasn't until later on, days later, when Al-Qaeda, somebody from Al-Qaeda, finally took responsibility and said, yeah, you know what, it was the 2.5-year anniversary, hello, 2.5 years afterwards, we, you know, blew up some more things, and that's what we were doing. 3/11. You know, it's kind of a significant date right there. That should have gotten anybody suspicious. You know, a traffic accident on that day could be significant. 3/11, 2.5 years to the day. Obviously, this isn't an ETA thing. But, you know, at the same time, I can't imagine what Al-Qaeda was thinking. Because you have a country here where 94% of the people were opposed to the policy that sent troops into the region. Perhaps blowing things up and killing that very population might turn them to the side of their government. That's how it works over here. So the whole thing really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But meanwhile, over here in the States, we're seeing this as a victory for terrorism, which is about the most stupid thing you can conclude from this. It's a victory for people taking control of their government. And that's always a good thing. Hopefully that will happen here someday. So the police are slowly identifying the bombers. They believe they have the names of at least 6, perhaps as many as 8 Moroccans who carried bombs onto Spanish commuter trains. And of course, it was last Thursday. And the death toll is now 201. And in addition, Basque police in northern Spain have detained an Algerian man in San Sebastian in connection with the bombings. So this is something that's continuing to unfold. And of course, a lot of countries feel that they're next. Now, this is no way to run a foreign policy. Obviously, you don't want to change things because you're afraid of being attacked by terrorist organizations. But at the same time, you have to not be surprised when actions around the world result in reactions, legitimate or not. You can't be surprised. If nothing else, you can't be surprised. Today's events, let's see if I even have this story with me. I might not have this one, but I read in the paper that some missionaries were killed today or last night in Iraq. Baptist missionaries. What in God's name? I mean, you know, even if you're not preaching the word of the Lord, you have to sort of think to yourself, maybe it's not the best time to be sending in Baptist missionaries to a Muslim country. You know? It might kind of rub people the wrong way, even if they were just shot at random. It's still not advisable. Yeah, they say they were, you know, helping with the drinking supply or something like that. That's great. But first of all, the place is way too dangerous to send civilians in at all. Meanwhile, people are slowly being freed from Guantanamo Bay. One of the British men who was released from Guantanamo Bay last week said through his lawyer on Friday that American authorities beat him interrogated him at gunpoint and subjected him to inhuman conditions during his detention. Louise Christian, who is the attorney for Tarek De Gaulle, said his family believed his experiences had damaged him psychologically. He was among five Britons returned home from the U.S. Navy base in Cuba and released last week. He's the second of the group to publicly describe conditions at the camp, where former fellow detainee Jamal al-Harith said earlier he had suffered beatings, humiliation, and interrogation for up to 12 hours at a time. Families of all the freed men who were not charged have said they were innocents caught up in the American war on terrorism. Explain to me, someone please explain to me, why are American officials not being held on war crimes for this kind of behavior? Taking people who are not charged with any crime, subjecting them to beatings, interrogations, 12 hours of this kind of thing at a time, without charging them with any kind of a crime, and then just releasing them and expecting everything to be okay. How is that not illegal in anybody's definition? Explain that to me, please. I'd like to know. And is it any different if they come for us? If they take American citizens and do the same thing? Is it okay if it's the fight against terror? His attorney said the girl had begun telling her and his family about the horrific things which happened to him during detention at Bagram, which is a U.S. air base in Afghanistan, Kandahar, as well as Guantanamo Bay. He alleged gross breaches of human rights, botched medical treatment, interrogation at gunpoint, beatings, inhuman conditions. Tarek finds it very difficult to talk about things, and his family believes his mental health has been severely affected by the trauma he has suffered. Now, you know, you might say, oh, it's all crap, you know, the guy's making it up. Well, you know, if the guy's full of it, how come he wasn't charged with something? How come you can take somebody for a year or more, hold them in prison, even if, you know, you're giving them ice cream every day? That's still not right, is it? Okay, well, I don't know if you can hear my voice. I can't. I hear classical music. Bear with me for a moment while I walk over to the transmitter and see if I can fix this. All right, I don't know if anybody was able to hear that. But I think we were off the air for a second. It's possible people listening on the internet might not have heard any interruption in the signal because I think you get the signal directly from our board. But those of you listening on the radio, if you're out there, please let us know if we went off the air for a couple of seconds. I think we did. And I'm trying to get to the bottom of what's wrong here. Something's definitely... it's probably got something to do with those electrical technicians out there. Trying to understand the theory of the electron. Anyway, so I guess... no, it's not the government trying to silence me. I don't think they would stoop to that level. Because it's snowing outside, it's very difficult to cut off radio stations in such conditions. Anyway, al-Harith told Britain's ITV network that interrogators at Guantanamo had applied intense psychological pressure, telling him that authorities in Britain would seize his family's home and all their money, turning them onto the street, if he did not admit he was involved in terrorism. Obviously, some kind of mind game. Many detainees were given regular injections, after which they would just sit there like in a daze, and sometimes you would see them shaking. He said he was beaten and put in isolation because he refused injections and was sometimes forcibly given unidentified drugs. Al-Harith said he had never had any ties to terrorism and would seek compensation from the U.S. government for his 2 years at Guantanamo. 2 years. I'll tell you, you know, he's remarkably composed. Such a thing happened to almost anybody I know, including myself. I would not be going through the court system. Unbelievable. And it goes on. You look this up, you'll see all kinds of other things. And that's one person. That's one person. There's over 600 there. And God knows what's happening in other places. Okay, now, you know, it's amazing how quickly a year goes by. but we're about to celebrate the one-year anniversary of our arrival in Baghdad. How do you plan on celebrating this? Well, I believe there's a rally taking place in New York City this Saturday. If I can get online access, maybe I can find out something about this. I do know that there's an advertisement that's going to be appearing in some newspapers. In fact, they're trying to raise money for this. This might be a good thing to contribute to if you're so inclined. It's going to read like this. It's going to appear in Friday's paper, which is the actual one-year anniversary, March 19th. Have you noticed what's happening to CEOs who lie? They are going on trial, and they are going to prison. They are discovering that no matter what floor the executive suite is on, it is not above the law. We who sign this page are business people. We are painfully aware that if America's institutions are ever to win back public confidence, lying and abuse of trust in high places must be punished. Which brings us to the Oval Office of George W. Bush. Today happens to be the first anniversary of the president's war on Iraq. It is a war which has already cost America 558 precious lives and nearly $200 billion. We now know that the case the president made for this war was built almost entirely out of falsehoods. There were no weapons of mass destruction. There was no stockpile of chemical weapons. There were no mobile biological weapons labs. There was no uranium from Niger. Saddam Hussein was not in league with Osama bin Laden. He was not an imminent threat. He was not a grave or gathering threat. He was a vicious but petty tyrant, deranged by a decade of sanctions, surveillance. I'm sorry, defanged, not deranged. Deranged, too, but defanged. That's a word I don't use very often. By a decade of sanctions, surveillance, inspections, and air attacks. The terrible, terrible cost of the state-sponsored deception already dwarfs the damage done by the worst corporate scandals. What price tag can ever be put on lives unnecessarily lost? Soldiers crippled, soldiers scarred for life. How can we honor their sacrifice? How do we commemorate the anniversary of a lie? The American people will pass judgment on November 2nd. In the meantime, we ask President Bush to step forward and take responsibility for the deadly deceptions marshaled to mislead this great nation into war. Signed, business leaders for sensible priorities. And there's a phone number if you're interested in contributing to this advertisement, which is taking which is being printed on Friday, I believe. And the deadline is tomorrow at noon. Wednesday, March 17th at noon is the deadline to send you a contribution. They need $50,000. And the suggested minimum contribution is $500. Their phone number, 212-243-3416. Fax number, 212-243-7783. Email, GaryBLSP@AOL.com. That's GaryBLSP@AOL.com. And the ad is known as the What's Happening to Liars ad. So, interesting. We'll see where that goes. Let's take some phone calls while we have a moment. I'm going to try to find out information about the rally on Saturday. Good evening. You're on the air.
Manuel.
How you doing?
Not too bad. It's Bitfreak from Halifax.
Halifax. Hey, congratulations. So I guess, what happened to the province when you guys won?
Well, honestly, it was pretty quiet, and I have to admit I'm not a big curling fan.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I watch it every now and then, but not a big deal to me.
It was exciting. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I had the TV on. I was watching, the CBC coverage of this, and I didn't know what was going on, but I was caught up in it. And when Nova Scotia got that final, whatever it is they call it, I was jumping up and down and screaming, too.
Yeah, no, it does. People get pretty excited about that sort of stuff.
So what else is on your mind?
Not too much. I had a couple of things I was thinking about listening to your show. We're talking about the periods and commas things from Quebec. That's something I'm not familiar with. It must be a Quebec thing.
Is that only a Quebec thing? They don't do that in Nova Scotia?
No, we're pretty... I think it's, periods for the difference between the dollars and the cents and commas between your thousands, but...
Okay.
That could be a Quebec thing. I'm not sure. But, I just wanted to say that I listen to your show quite a bit. I discovered your magazine actually here on bookshelves in a magazine shop, and I've been reading it consistently since, it's really cool. So I wanted to thank you guys for that and keep up the good work on that sort of thing.
Okay.
Another thing that I wanted to sort of make a comment about was, you guys were talking about the Janet Jackson episode on TV, and I never really got a chance to sort of make a commentary or call in about that when that was sort of... To me, what was more offensive was watching Baghdad getting bombed on CNN when that happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, where's the outrage there? Where are the fines? Where are the
I mean, I was guilty of being captivated by it at the same time. I mean, I was, like, calling up my friends going, like, check this out. Like, what is this going on, right?
But, mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, so... So anyway, I guess I hope you guys, during your next election, you know, get Bush out of there, get somebody that has a clearer mind in, and keep up the good work.
Shouldn't be too hard since almost anybody qualifies, but we'll give it a shot, hopefully.
Well, we're pretty scared up here otherwise. You know?
Yeah. Well, how do people in Nova Scotia feel about these things, mostly?
I think that, you know, I think we miss Bill Clinton, despite, you know, his character flaws here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, despite that, he was more of a world leader as opposed to a U.S. leader, and since you guys are the big guns, you know, we need the...
Yeah, you know, Bush did... the thing I have to admit that Bush was able to do, he was able to do the one thing that Bill Clinton couldn't do, and that's make Bill Clinton look good.
True enough.
Yeah.
Enough. Well, hey, maybe maybe Kerry can get Clinton to run as vice president. I don't know. Can he do that? Is that legal?
I don't know. Probably not. But he could get Gore, I guess, if you want that, or...
That's
I don't know.
True, but anyhow... Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's my opinion on it, and a lot of people I talk to are very similar in that respect. I don't know, I hang out with a fairly liberal crowd, but
mm-hmm.
That's the way it goes.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, and see you sometime.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, take care.
Hey, you should come up to Halifax sometime.
I'd like to. If there's an Ashton MacIsaac concert, maybe I'll come.
Well, listen, this summer, Tall Ships are coming to Halifax.
Tall Ships.
Yeah, Tall Ships. So they get the long, the huge, you know, sailing ships.
Yeah.
Various countries, and they do the race around the world, and they show up here in Halifax, and it's a good time.
And when is that specifically?
I believe it might be the second or third week in July.
Oh, well, I have kind of a conference going on here.
Oh, do you? I'll send you an email and give you the address on that and let you know, or the date on that and let you know.
Great. All right, thanks. Take care.
Well, take it easy.
All right. And our address is otw@2600.com. And the conference I just mentioned, obviously, is our HOPE conference. The Hacker Conference takes place July 9th through 11th. Go to www.thefifthhope.org. I was able to find some information on the rally taking place on March 20th. The world still says no to war. March 20th, Global Day of Action on the one-year anniversary. There are over 250 U.S. events planned, including a march in New York City. Can't find the actual time it begins, but I can tell you the website is www.unitedforpeace.org. And according to this, NYPD is going to try to be nice this time and not arrest people for just being there. But the important thing is to show up, be counted one way or another. Go to that website, unitedforpeace.org. I'm sure you'll find all kinds of interesting things there. Also, one other thing I wanted to point out, when I was up there in Canada, I saw a documentary on CBC News World, which is their all-news station. It was Iraq Uncensored, basically images of the war that have never been shown, certainly not in this country. It was just so incredible to see the American journalists saying things that American journalists do not say. Like, you know, we did a really bad job of this. We bought into the American government's policy, hook, line, and sinker. We became soldiers ourselves. We were part of the whole team. And, you know, we behaved shamefully. And words like that. Sorry if I sound disjointed. We just went off the air again, apparently. But... The important thing is we don't get to see that here unless we get Canadian television. It's something to think about. You need to demand variety and different voices because the rest of the world is getting it. All right, well, at least we have this hour when it's not being interrupted by whatever's going on out there. And you have this radio station, WUSB in Stony Brook. Where the Blues is coming up next. Emmanuel Goldstein, have yourselves a good night. We'll see you again next week when it will be fundraising week. So please make an appointment to be here live so you can help contribute to this amazing place to help keep shows like this one going. Have a good week. Good night. Thank you.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.